grab your Bible, and let's turn to the 131st Psalm, 131. Psalm 131. It's just three verses. You familiar with it? It's a Psalm of David. At least that's what the title says. A Song of Degrees, meaning that it was a psalm that was sung by the Jewish people as they were making their aliyah up to the temple in Jerusalem. Of course, the men had to do that three times every year. And so this is a Song of Degrees, or an aliyah, written by David. Look at it. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. That's a real sweet psalm, I think. It's, reflective of the title that is given to David himself in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 1. He is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And this is a sweet picture. It's a sweet spiritual picture of, I believe, the thing that God is trying to bring you to and build in you. You know what that is? A childlike dependence on himself. And for that to happen, there's got to be some major things that are brought into our lives that really have a breaking power. We need a major breaking in order for this to be our testimony and experience. Well, I want to look at this briefly. And before we do so, let's pause again to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words that you've given to the psalmist here. What a sweet picture it is of a personal and intimate relationship with you. And Lord, would we be willing this evening to say, whatever you must do, whatever it takes, and you know in your wisdom what it takes, Lord, would you bring me into this kind of sweet fellowship with yourself, that the testimony of the psalmist David could be my testimony also. Lord, we pray that you would just speak the message of these few words, these three verses, to our personal lives, and that as a result, you would have your way in us, and you would bring us to this position and build this kind of relationship between you and me, us. We pray this for the glory of Jesus. Amen. So, a childlike dependence on God. That's what this 131st Psalm really screams to us, I would say. But in order to do so, a major breaking must happen. And look at the first verse. Really, basically, that verse is saying, for this to happen, for you to be in this kind of a fellowship with the Lord, this intimacy with the Lord, pride must go. Pride must go. He really is talking in that first verse about doing away with any conceitedness, getting rid of conceit. Notice how he puts it. He says, my heart is not haughty. The word haughty has to do with great matters, matters of great importance. And he is basically saying that I am not conjuring up in my mind over-ambitious plans or over-ambitious aims or goals in my life. I'm not planning unrealistic projects. You know, it's good to be motivated. It's good to have goals in life. We have to plan ahead. But what he's talking about here is way over the top. Really selfish ambition. Making a name for yourself, trying to impress people by your ability. My heart is not haughty. I'm not conjuring up over-ambitious plans. You remember Jeremiah had a scribe that wrote his prophecies down for him. His name was Baruch. And in Jeremiah 45 and verse 5, Jeremiah rebukes Baruch. He does, because this man is pitying himself for all of the horrors that were prophesied to happen to Judah. And so Baruch is in a self-pity mode. And Jeremiah rebukes him and says, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not." Don't put yourself as the most important object of your consideration. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Conjuring up haughty or great matters, great plans. That's an instance of pride. And pride must go if we're going to have this kind of intimacy in our relationship with the Lord. And then he says in that first verse also, "Nor mine eyes lofty." Lofty eyes refer to thinking highly of yourself, so much so that you then look down on others because you think you're better than them in a spiritual sense, in an intellectual sense, whatever. So pride must go. There has to be an end of this conjuring of these great matters, these ambitious plans, and there has to be an end to condescending attitudes where we think of ourselves too highly and we look down on others because we think that we have prowess in certain areas over other people. Maybe we think we're more spiritual. Maybe we think we're more theological keen than they are, or we have better political ideas, or maybe we think we understand this, that, or the other, whatever. He says, "My eyes are not lofty. I don't have a condescending attitude to other people. I don't involve myself to try to understand things that defy my ability to understand them." One of the greatest disruptions and destroyers of unity in a local church or a family, for that matter, this is a spiritual family, is for any one of us to have a condescending attitude towards the family members, our brothers and sisters, either in a biological family or a spiritual family like this, where we think ourselves above, we know better than them, we know more than they do, we're adept in this particular area, and they're ignorant of what we know. We have this knowledge, that condescending attitude. Paul tells the church in Rome in the 12th chapter, which is a chapter really about the unity of the local church and the love that has to prevail in order for that unity to be maintained. He warns in verse 3, Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Think soberly. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Don't think that you have a step above in knowledge in certain areas above other people, that thus you look condescendingly toward them. Like you have to enlighten them, that it's up to you to show them what they don't know. That's a wrong attitude. That's really a destroyer of the unity of the brethren. Pride must go if we're going to have this intimacy with the Lord. He goes on in that first verse, dealing with the pride that God has rid his life of. And he says, I don't exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Exercise myself in great, he's renouncing occupying himself with the selfish aims in his daily busy life. He's not consumed with grandiose selfish aims. He's willing to live with unanswered questions in life. Really, a picture of childlike humility. In order to have childlike humility, in order to have childlike contentment, pride must go. Look at verse 2. Here's what happens. When pride goes, surely I have behaved myself and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. When pride goes, humility comes, and humility is really a dependence. So a humble dependence replaces the pride that is kicked out. And peace must come. When pride goes, peace must come. That's what verse 2 pictures, peace coming into this person's heart, his soul, his life. See the picture? This is really sweet. If you're a mother, this is a sweet picture, that second verse. It's really a picture of a nursing child. Back in that day, they would nurse their children to 3 or 4 years old. And so what he's saying is really the language of a nursing child. I have behaved and quieted myself. You know, as a father of 7 and a grandfather of 23, I'm telling you, I have some experience of how amazing it is that a crying baby can so quickly and quietly stop when they're nursed. It's like magic. I know of a 2-year-old that when this 2-year-old would want to be nursed by mother, that 2-year-old would ask mother to give a feed. That's what the 2-year-old called it. Give a feed. The 2-year-old told mommy that she was beautiful. And at night when daddy put her to bed, she said, I told mommy that she was beautiful and she gave me feeds. You see how manipulating? You see how a 2-year-old can use a parent to get what they want? How self-seeking they can be? And we're talking about a nursing child. And what the psalmist is simply saying here is that I'm past that stage. I'm no longer like a nursing child that simply manipulates and uses God to get what I want from him. Peace has come, is what you see in verse 2. Pride goes out, peace comes in. And no longer am I like a nursing child. Rather, now I am as a weaned child. And a weaned child isn't a nursing child. A weaned child is a nuzzling child. You know what it means to nuzzle? It means to snuggle. And the psalmist is talking about a safe and satisfied relationship with the Lord, where he is calm and quiet, like a child after a child is done nursing, and just continues to just snuggle up with mom and lean against mom and rest upon mother's breast, not needing or desiring to suck, but just to enjoy the closeness with mommy. Many nights when we had little ones that were nursing, there were three of us in bed. The little one would get nursed, and then the baby and mommy would be asleep. And so the baby would just be nuzzling and not nursing anymore. And that's the picture here. When pride goes out and peace comes in, there is that enjoyment of closeness with the Lord, that special connection when you continue with the Lord alone and nothing else. Notice what he says in that second verse. He says, I have behaved and quieted myself. It's a personal responsibility for you to come into that place of peace, of closeness with the Lord. It's your responsibility to behave in quiet yourself. And it's thus a personal choice that you come to be totally dependent upon the Lord as a child, beyond that stage of simply seeing mother as a supply wagon, to meet my need, and you enter the stage of simply continuing to be where mother is and to be with her. That's the relationship of the psalmist with the Lord. No longer am I looking to God for what I can merely get out of him to have my needs met, but I just want to be with him. I just want to nuzzle. I just want to be in his presence. I just want to be close to him. I just want to know him more intimately. I just want to spend time with the Lord. That's what he's saying. When pride goes out, peace comes in. But that's not where it ends. Look at the third verse. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. When pride goes out, peace comes in, and a plea must go out. That's what is verse 3, a plea going out. It's really a call by this psalmist who has come into an intimate nuzzling with the Lord. It's a call to be God-focused. And there he's indicating here, he says, let Israel hope in the Lord. In the fact that he is calling Israel to hope, he's putting a plea out to Israel, he's indicating his hope's in the Lord. Can't call other people to hope in the Lord if yours isn't. It's really a personal testimony of his total dependence on God. He's simply claiming, you know what? You can hope in the Lord. God's enough. There is no message like that for other people unless you have that personally settled in your own life. Unless you have come to a place of childlike contentment. That's what he's talking about here. Childlike contentment, like a child weaned from mother. Childlike contentment. And then he's inviting. He's not only indicating that his hope is in the Lord, but he's inviting Israel. He says, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. You see, when you have this personal experience where peace has come in and you have learned this childlike contentment that the psalmist describes in that second verse, It will compel you to share God with others, to share this God-focused experience with others. Here is really an expression of desire for the nation of Israel, for other people to humbly turn to God and discover a personal relationship with Him. He's the answer, and He is provision for all your needs. And God's the only one that can satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart. And just as you have come to realize and experience His childlike contentment within you that frees you from your selfish ambition, you want others to experience Him too. And I remember when our kids were small, and now I see it in our grandchildren, that they finally get to a place where they're totally relaxed, they're unquestioning in their contentment, and they're just content to hold on to mom's hand or dad's hand. It's like all's well, the world's safe. What more could I want? Psalm 131, it's really the psalmist coming to final contentment, to be totally at home with God, and all his attention is focused on the Lord. So look at it again. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Pride has gone out. Verse 2, surely I have behaved myself, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Peace has come in. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. A plea must go out. A plea must go out. You can't keep it in. You can't keep it to yourself. You got to invite others to enjoy that same experience with you. Let's pause a moment. Let's ask the Lord to do that in our hearts, will you? Why don't you right now just ask the Lord to cause the haughtiness, the selfish ambition, the pride in your heart, just to clean it out, to rid your heart of it. You don't try to impress people or prove anything to people. Ask the Lord to replace that pride with his peace, with that quietness, where you're simply happy. You don't care what people think about you. You're simply happy to have that closeness and that quietness with the Lord. You don't have to save face. You just have to know his sweetness. When that happens, you won't have to ask for it. It'll start coming out. It'll just be the natural overflow and outflow of your life. You'll be talking about him. The sweetness will be evident. As a weaned child, you'll evidence that childlike contentment. There'll be nothing that you think you need more than him. He'll be enough.